just out here wilding. What'd you say?
I was saying we were talking before we hit the record button about how we...
I know we was talking before we hit the record button. I know what's going on. Brian?
I'm telling the people.
Oh, sure, sure.
We don't have an agenda. We're just playing around. We're just having a good time.
Oh, yeah. Shit. We just honking around.
Just hanging up. I don't know if it's having that. I got served an ad for a funk playlist.
Oh yeah,
Phonk.
Yeah, sure. I know what it is.
Decidedly not as funky as I wanted it to be. I was like,
yeah. Well, see, what happened was that funk, like white people, realized that funk was dope, and so they got in. Yeah, and then a lot of the PHONK and that sort of stuff, that's white people funk. Like you wouldn't know until you put it on, until you press play, and you're like, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
This is not what I thought it was.
I knew pretty fast, I will say that. It didn't take me long.
Yeah, well, when you press play.
It. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's what happens for sure. You know? Yeah, I was aware of that when I adopted the moniker Zamboni Funk, you know, and that's part of the reason why I didn't change the spelling of funk at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's, you know, for a long time, what I really wanted to do with this podcast was, are you familiar with Toby Mwigwe?
No, I don't think so.
He's a rapper from Houston, I think. And he, at the end of his first, I don't know, 4 or 5 albums or something like that, there would be a long piece that would be like 40 minutes. It would be an interview, and there would be a trap beat behind it. And so it would just be that same beat that would be around and around. So the beat's like 2 minutes long or something like that. And then, you know, you'd like come back to the top and just run it again. And and it made the interviews more interesting because the beat was so dope. Right. And so that's what I wanted for this podcast. Originally, that was the vision, was that there was going to be a trap beat on here. And part of the reason why I wanted there to be that kind of beat specifically is because trap music is where funk went to. So if you remember that, like, funk used to be a dirty word, partially because of its, the closeness to the word fuck, but also like the smell component of it and everything. Like, it's just, it was something that you like at it, the moment that like P-Funk and George Clinton and Bootsy and all them is going on, then like, if you can't say the word funk on the radio, because it's literally a dirty word. You cannot, like, it's taboo. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, it turns into this like global phenomenon or whatever, and everybody gets really excited about it. And so then that waters down the whole thing. And so then the dirtiness of the space, you know, that thing that is the smell of sex and the the smell of armpits and, you know, the swamp. And, you know, I like to talk about the cosmic slop from which the world is created is necessarily funky. Like, be you. Like, it'll put a frown on your face, you know?
Yeah. You know? You're reminding me of when you walk into a serious martial arts dojo, like, where people really, like, they do try to clean that shit. You know what I mean? Like, everybody, everyone I've ever been a part of has a, like, last 5 minutes, everybody tries to clean up, because otherwise everybody's going to get sick. You know, you gotta do it. You cannot get the funk out of that shit. Like you walk in and, like, even like, imagine your most beautiful oak covered open air Okinawan dojo thing, you know, whatever you want to, your fantasy thing. You walk in, it is going to smell like sweat and impact and clothes and that have not been washed enough. Feet. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Blood. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's how you know you're home. You smell that. You're like, it's a good place. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
If they don't smell like, and I mean this about Tai Chi studios too. If they don't smell like fear and violence, they are not a real spot.
Right. Uh huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, so that there's a genuine authenticity to that.
Yeah.
That really appeals to me, and that is the thing. You know, that's sometimes people will say that the P in P-Funk stands for pure funk. you know, is like the real deal. It is, and you know, it's a pure. I didn't really realize what the word pure meant until I went to Costa Rica, and I lived in Costa Rica for a
Pura.
while. And yeah, pura vida, right? Like that's the like catchphrase there, right? Everybody's, you know, you say pura vida, and then you translate that to English, and it sounds pure life, and it sounds like it, you know, like the vibes are really nice, and like this is the pure life or something like that is what, but that's not what that means. It means something closer to only life, you know. It's an appropriate response to like what's up or like how you doing. Oh, just living. Is
Just
the
living.
is what that means, right? Like only living, not doing nothing else but just living out here. And so,
Nothing but the essence. Nothing but
right.
the real but full expression.
The funk, the whole funk and nothing but the funk, right?
I'm not
And
thinking about my
so
taxes.
right. Yeah, listen, the P don't know nothing about no taxes. But yeah, so that purity of like straight to the funk. It ain't nothing else going on here, and like, and it's visceral. There's a visceral feeling about that. That is no longer contained in funk music. And I first noticed this when what was that movie with DJ Qualls and Eddie Griffin, and it was like about this like nerdy dude who had a funk band who,
Yeah,
and
fuck.
who was that country singer girl? Zooey Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel.
She was like the girl in the movie, and
Eddie Griffin. I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up. We have the
yeah, I see
internet
you
at our
doing it.
disposal. The new guy? Is that it?
The new
No.
guy. Yeah. Have you seen this film?
No, I've seen clips of it, but I haven't seen the whole
I
fucking
cracked
thing.
up back in, you know, junior high or whatever. When I first saw, I thought this movie was hilarious. Turns out my dad actually went to high school with Eddie Griffin. He's like
Oh, that's
from
cool. That's
same
funny.
block and whatever, you know. But in that movie, DJ Qualls has a funk band. And so at the end of the film, then there's like a his band plays, and it's like funky or whatever. It's funky. And so I was, even though I like that film, you know, I had a good time watching that film. From that time, I was aware that funk had been diluted, you know. And so when I got into funk and the P funk and make my funk the P funk, I wants to get funked up and all that, you know. Then I looked at what that had turned into, you know. And so one of the things that P funk turns into is gangster culture. Gangsters love them some P funk. From gangsters from the 70s and 80s, it was all P all the time, just like out on the corner, and it was the P. And something about that P was like so fresh and real and tough that like people really vibed with it. But like gangsters really vibed with it. And so then that turned into G funk. That's how you get your Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and all of them, you know, like that turns into a new kind of movement. And that the whole thing is about dirty words. I don't know when was the last time you went and listened to The Chronic
No,
was,
I
but
went back, look, because like I was listening to this podcast that was 60 songs to explain the 90s, and there's like 200 episodes. It's hilarious, but like.
Sure.
He was talking about Dr. Dre, and he was talking just like, you know, how the influence, right? So I went back to like listen to the albums, and I was like, whoa, I don't know if this could get played today. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
this
it's
is
hard.
like,
It's you
it's
go back to it and it's
intense.
like, yo, can you bring it down? Can
It
you chill?
stings. It stings a bit. You know what I mean? Like, it makes you uncomfortable today. Like,
And the point was to make you uncomfortable. It was so over the top. You know, like, and the whole thing, you know, you got to remember that gangster rap is kayfabe, right? Like, this is not real. Motherfuckers are not actually living like this.
No.
But like that we're gonna be nasty, and that is gonna push people away, is an important part of what that vibe was. That is downstream from the P. And so then that, goes on to turn into a next generation of Southern rap, Southern Playlist, the Cadillac music and all that. Like there's a song on off of that record, Southern Playlist, the Cadillac music, it's called Funky Ride, that's got like 3 minutes of orgasm at the end of it.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, it's dope. It's really dope. I love this music. It also hard to put that shit on a playlist sometimes because like, because it's gonna be in your face, and there's a lot.
Because at some point you're gonna be driving around, you know what I
Right.
mean? And your aunts can be listening to that shit, and you're gonna feel weird. That's all.
Right. Right. And you get it, that then goes on to turn into like trap music, and because it was Southern Playlist of Cadillac music that put the South on the map, and then that's how you get somebody like Future or Big Crit, or I don't know, Big Crit's maybe not as popular as Future is, who's one of these big time artists. Everybody know their names, and I know their names until right now.
Until we start
That's the moment where I need to
getting
say
our
something.
bartender margaritas and handling our shit. It's funny you're talking about. So I want to jump into this idea of purity for a second and how it connects to the unadulterated, right? So this week I've been working on one of the devil poems in the book. I got a draft on it. It's okay. I need to rework that one, but it's a little bit about end up pulling a lot of stuff from moonshine and moonshine culture, right? And so, which by the way, I had this little pop in my head that all creation of moonshine is a Venusian operation because you have to use copper tubing for it to go through, or else it'll kill you. So like literally, it's like if you don't pay your dues to Lady Venus in this operation, you will die. You know what I mean? Like, or
Interesting.
go blind. And also go blind is another one of those, false curses of Venus. If you jerk off too much, you're gonna go blind. You know what I mean? So there's this whole
Oh,
like
interesting.
losing sight of beauty is the punishment for not paying Venus her due, right? So anyway, give me 2 seconds. I'll connect jerking off to just about anything. But
Sure.
the process is till you get it to burn blue. You know what I mean? Till you get it to actually be pure alcohol, or as close as you can get, is an alchemical one, and it is exactly what you're talking about. It is pure, and when you taste it, it makes your face scrunch up. Do you know what I mean? There's you are confronted with the essence in a way that you have a body reaction to. You don't have a choice but to have a bodily reaction to what you drink there. You've engaged in ceremony. You've signed up for the ride. And
Let me take you on my funky ride.
you're going. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, moonshine's one of the few things I've ever blacked out on because I don't tend to black out from alcohol at all.
Sure.
But drank some moonshine. I think I
You have
told
a
this
strong
story before, by the
Saturn.
way.
You've got natal Saturn in Libra, right? That's
Does
one of
that
the
keep me from
powers of
blacking
Saturn.
out?
Well, one of the powers of Saturn that you can make a talisman for is to be able to drink endlessly and not get drunk.
Oh shit, dude, that, to be fair, that actually was described my 20s and 30s pretty significantly. Like,
Word. Yeah, strong Saturn, you know.
yeah, interesting. But yeah, the fucking moonshine took me for a ride. I woke up, I think I've told this story before, but I woke up 2 miles down the beach not knowing how I got there.
Word. I don't think I've heard that
Start.
story, but
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I was hanging out with some buddies, and we were like just hanging out at the beach, like Nag's Head or something. And they were making some jungle juice in the back, right? And so just
sure.
throwing alcohol and everything into a garbage can and mixing it up, and everybody's for this for the party. And they were trying a little sample off the side, and I watched them. They lit it, and it was still flammable after they added the juice. And I was
Sure.
like, what the fuck are you guys making? They're like, well, we got this, our buddy Shine, and we just made it with Shine. So basically, if you're not used to it, something close to an Everclear proof, if that's more familiar for folks. So I got a solo cup of that and drank it. And the next thing I
Good idea.
remember is I'm alone on the beach, about 2 miles, as it turns out, I find out later, from where I started. And I've lost my friends. I have a vague memory of having met a young woman along the way. She's not there. No sign that she stayed for me longer than a quick hello. But like, I made a friend. And
Sure.
but if you've ever been out on the beach at night and woken up and not, I don't know which direction to go. Like I have no idea where the fuck I am. And it's weird because it hits you really hard, but can burn off pretty fast too in some ways, right? So like, I'm not sober, but I'm pretty sober when I come back to reality. So I'm like, gotta make some choices, left or right. You know what I
Right. Yeah.
mean?
Did you choose right?
I
Or
did. I
did you
did.
choose well?
I choose well. It was left, and I chose well because I was like, I think I probably went down. Like there was a slight slope downhill. I was like, I most likely walked downhill when I was drunk.
Right, sure.
So I'm gonna try walking uphill and see if that gets me where I'm going. But again, no hangover because it's pure. Like now, I'm not, listen, you can drink enough to kill yourself, so please be careful. I'm not advising this as a regular consumption. Like it's easy to get yourself in some serious trouble with this stuff,
Sure.
but it's a different experience than most of your alcohols. Anyway, part of what got me on this, you were talking about the gangster spirit connected to the P, right? Well, I started realizing that like every rebellion revolution has had an alcohol spirit attached to it. Like a liquor spirit, right? Haitian Revolution is rum.
Sure.
Russian Revolution in Russia as a whole is vodka. Like in America, it's whiskey is deeply attached to a lot of revolution. And there's something about getting into direct contact with the land, right? Through a fairly simple process, which is you are distilling the grain of the land. You are turning it into something where there's no intermediary between you and the spirit anymore. It's right in your face.
Sure.
That does something to light people up and be inclined to rebel and say, no, I'm not going to do, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. You know what I mean? Like
Sure.
there's some element there that's important. So it gets locked up with not just like revolutions, but the people in the revolution that the other revolutionaries don't want to talk about. Like the first thing that Washington and Hamilton did once they got into power was crush the Appalachian guys over whiskey taxes. It's called Shays Rebellion. They put it down, they tarred and feathered a bunch of people, burned all their stills. It's because George Washington wanted to sell his Applejack, his apple brandy, and these guys were competing, so they went and they burned them out and took their land and burned down their crops. You know what I mean? But
It's the American way.
it is, but there's a bunch of people who were wild and weird, and they and Irish and Scottish, and they were like, hey, I thought we just fought a war to not have taxes. Why am I suddenly getting taxes?
Sure.
You can talk about the Haitian Revolution too, the people who were wilder and more dangerous and it was stuff that they're caught up in this rum business in a way that's, once you start making laws again, you're kind of like, I don't know if we need that guy around right now. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Sure.
yeah. Jesse put me on this great old New Yorker essay where he's talking about, there's a Russian guy talking about vodka in Russia in the 90s. And he had this great line, and it's so Russian, you can feel the like black humor and bitterness in it, right? Where he's like, yeah, we try to get rid of vodka every now and again, but then what would we do with traditional Russian pastimes like falling out of windows and dying from your own vomit? Like, and you're like, that's funny. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's something, and it's taken an honest look, and you can hear like his regret and how much he hates that stuff and how hurt he is by it and how much he also understands it and understands there is a kind of like dangerous glamour to that as well, right? Like it's even
Sure.
those gross things. So anyway, the purity and the gangsters together, it's like got me thinking in that line.
Interesting. Yeah, right on. Yeah, there's some definitely something a little bit reckless about
About just living.
yeah, for sure. About just living. It's just we just out here doing a damn thing. Whatever that looks like. You know, when I was in Costa Rica, people weren't necessarily always about the ayahuasca retreat thing situation that we had going on. And some of these Pura Vida guys came and burned down the lodge one time. Well, they didn't burn it down. They burned it.
They
It's a
burned.
rainforest, so it's, like shit is damp. You know what I mean? Like, they did the best.
I do want to point out that being the alcohol revolutionary, sometimes your plans are not what very well thought out. You know, that is a risk in this maneuver.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. There's a lot of risk in that, you know. But yeah, you know, there's definitely something kind of reckless about it, and like we narrowed it down pretty quick. It was like we know who this is. Turns out I had been buying weed from him this whole time. What? Ah.
What? The betrayal.
Right?
Also, like,
Also, I'm not gonna stop buying weed from him.
no. But I do wonder if there was a moment between like shot three and four, right, where he was like, shit, if I burn this place down, I'm gonna lose some of my weed income. Do you know what I mean? Like, was there like,
I doubt it. I
yeah.
doubt that's what happened at all. 'Cause it was like like it's 300 people in the area or something like that. Everybody knows everybody, you know, from long time. You know, remember when this dude was small, you know? So, and you know, it was a situation. It was a bit of a situation. And I found out who it was, and I didn't mean to be on a team. I was just on a team because I was there, you know?
You were on the side that got set on fire, so you were,
Yeah. And so then I'm on this team, and part of me is like, well, you know, does my man have a point? I don't know. What I do know is that I need to continue to live in this place. I need to have a spot to live. But does that put me on the enemy squad? Like, I'm new here. I'm a tourist. Can I just have some weed, please? That's all I want. I want to chill in a hammock. That's what I came to Costa Rica for. I want to drink coconuts and chill in this hammock. And y'all can have whatever kind of squabbles you want to have.
Y'all who know each other, y'all who
Y'all
have
who
a
know each
history.
other. Yeah, leave me out. Leave me out of it. Then the police come and you know, like I'm not here for some police, but I'm also feeding them. You know what I mean? Like they came all this way. It's not easy to get to this spot. They had to do the set, you know, they drove 3 hours and they walked up the beach with the dog and all this, you know what I mean?
They're already mad.
Right, exactly. You know, like, and I got weed in my bag right now. You know what I mean? Like, gentlemen, can I interest you
Can
in
I avail you of some of, would you care to confiscate some of this? Property?
Right. So, you know, it's complicated lifestyle. And that's the other thing. It's like, you know, I'm funky in the sense that my, you know, there's a certain like there's a genuine authenticity to the way that I get down, and also my timing is really good. Like when I'm playing drums or the bass or whatever, like my timing is really good, which is what makes me funky in the first place. But like, when it comes to gangster shit, like that ain't my life. You know what I mean? Like, I've been in places where it was gangsters around, and they'd be like, "What's up, dude? What are you doing here?" You know what I mean? Like, it's clear that what's going on.
I saw a video of a guy, I almost said it to you, but it went on too long. A guy watching the football combine, you know what I mean? Like watching them run the numbers on like new recruits, and watch for the pro stuff, watching them like do stuff.
Okay, sure.
And he clocked the 40 yard run of a 6'6", 340-pound lineman
Damn.
who did a 40 in 4.82 seconds.
Crazy.
Now, in case numbers don't translate to terror the way it ought to, that man will, If he decides to eat you are going to be eaten. There is no,
Right, you're not getting away.
you're not getting away. You're like I love people who haven't been around like big athletes like to think, oh, they're slow. No, what's
Point
scary
is to
about that
not be
man is
slow.
he is not slow. He's twice your size in every way imaginable, three times as strong and faster than you. Like, yeah, it's bad. I used to love all my fellow D&D nerds who had no fight experience, right? And like one of the weird things about learning to fight in a, down on the farm, down a dirt road building where guys who worked union jobs went to do karate front face punch to work their angers out after work,
Sure.
like, and being the only 14-year-old fighting 35 and 45-year-old men, like, you learn real fast to be humble, right? You learn
Sure.
what the size difference means. So, has these my friends would be like, yeah, I would be a knight, and I'm like,
No, you would
no.
not.
No, you'd be lucky to spend your whole life learning how to shoot arrows. Maybe that would be a very dangerous thing that you could learn to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, but that 6'6", 340-pound, that is a knight. That is what those are, and they're terrifying. It's like the worst part about Game of Thrones is they only had one dude like that. They're like, there's the mountain. Like, no, they're all the mountain. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they're all that way.
Yeah, word. You know,
But
I like a little bit of humility in the imagination.
I do too. A
You
little bit.
know,
Yeah.
like let me not imagine myself as Sylvester Stallone.
Right.
You
Right.
know what I
Unless I
mean?
want to put the work in to be that, in which case, like,
Right.
then your
And
imagination
like,
can be real. Yeah.
yeah, for sure, for sure. And listen, you know that I'm here for it. DeLulu is the
Oh, fuck. I forgot that you and I just talked about that off camera. We didn't share that with the people.
I feel like the people understood what I was saying.
DeLulu is the Sululu. It's true.
I'm saying,
It's
you know,
true. Yeah, it's true.
so yes, I'm here for that.
Yeah.
I am all day on some American dream. Like, if you can dream it, you can do it. Go ahead,
Right.
do that, boo boo. You know, I love that. But same time, you know, like I need to, you know, it's the idea that like in the Holocaust, do I imagine myself as the person who is sheltering Anne Frank? You know, like maybe that's a little self-aggrandizing. You know, maybe I don't need to do that. And that's why I stay being up on here talking about like I'm a villain and all this. You know what I mean? Like, 'cause I don't need to imagine myself as some kind of do-gooder if or some kind of badass that I'm not. You know what I mean? And maybe I have visions of being a badass, and in my case, I do. I happen to care very deeply about being the baddest motherfucker around, but not fighting, not in a
Well,
group
I
of
think,
gangsters. You know
yeah. And that
what
was to quickly circle back. I think everybody should have a moment where they are surrounded by people who are real gangsters for a second and
Sure.
decide, do I want to be a real gangster? And the other thing is, like, sometimes you watch,
See, I was never given that opportunity. My dad knew. My dad came from like a real hood ass environment, which is part of how I know that the P is like as gangster as it is because he didn't even give the P to me. It was some uncles who were like, "You should probably know about this." And he was
He's
like,
like, no, no,
"I've been
no,
trying to
no,
shelter him this whole time."
no.
I had an uncle one time who had a sticker on his glasses. You know how sometimes like dudes will have like the hats and it'll still have the tag on it or whatever? Yeah, so he had that on his glasses. And I remember like sitting there the whole, you know, it was a holiday or something like that. And I'm hanging out with him and I was like, "Are we gonna talk about this?" And we did not. You know what we did talk about? He was like trying to show me how to tie a pimp knot in my tie. And then my dad kicked the door down and was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, got me up out of there. So that's, you know what I mean? Like, so that's as close to like gangster lifestyle as I ever got. That's not true. He got gunned down one time. And then everybody was like, yo, if we gotta go and like do a retaliation, then you might get a call in the middle of the night and you better just be ready to go. And I was like, you guys, who are you talking to right now?
Exactly.
What are you saying? You don't want me on this squad, my guy. What are we doing? You don't want me on the team, dog. Let me tell you, they didn't call me.
Well, that's good. Let me,
Yeah.
they were
They
like, you
figured
know
it
what?
out. They knew what was going on.
Samponi doesn't need to. You know what,
Yeah, the real
guys?
gangsters was like, nah, not him.
Well, and
They
that's
did. They
something.
anyway.
That's something that holds up from history too. Like the real bad dudes, they often want a bard around. You know what I mean? They want somebody to sing the praises. They want
Sure.
or make the song, do whatever. Like, and they want that bard. If
Agree
another
on.
bard comes into town, they want that bard to fucking destroy the other
Sure.
bard, you know. And so that like badass in your own qualities, badass in where you have strength. That's where the also a little humility in the imagination is actually really fucking useful because it's like, I do want to be a badass, but am I a badass in this field? So I had friends who became pro fighters, and you know, I do not have a hesitation that in almost every encounter I would have, the person across the way from me would not leave without remembering my name. They would be telling a story about me for the rest of their life. I don't know if I'd win, but they would tell a story, right?
Sure.
I am nowhere near a pro fighter for a
Sure.
lot of good reasons. But my teacher pulled me aside. He's like, hey, do you want to help coach the guy who's going pro? He's like, I think you'd be a really good coach.
Sure.
And like, I thought about it for a little while because I would, there's lots of that I would like, you know, helping a guy train, feeling like you're on his corner, feeling like you're looking out for him, feeling like you're smart, you know, not that you're smarter than him, but you're able to apply your intelligence to the task of helping him win. You know what I mean? Like that's a really good,
You can see things he can't see and shit.
totally. If you're in the ring, you can't see a ton of shit. There's a whole bunch of shit you can't see. And, it was but it was a really nice thing to have again that kind of moment of like you're right, you could be excellent and you understand this very well. You don't have the makeup to do it in the fight way, right? Like you're not actually built for that. So there's something really valuable in knowing where you sit with that stuff. But also in this in a general sense, you know, it's good to have the humility of like, oh, that's what a real badass physical person is like. It's you know, it's not me.
Yeah, I just don't, I don't have a lot of, I don't have a lot of patience for people who imagine themselves as tough. You know what I mean? Like, I have the sense that I'm a badass, right? But like, I'm a super badass astrologer. I'm a griot. Shit, you know what I mean? I tell a good story. I can get people laughing. I can get people invested in my, you know, like, is the pizza gonna come or is the pizza not gonna come story. You know what I mean? Like I'm telling a story about some bullshit. Hey, ain't nothing happening in the story, but I'm telling the story in such a way that people are invested in it. You know what I mean? Like I'm badass with that shit. But like I know that in the event that some shit goes down, like what I'm gonna do, sing about it?
It's, you know, it's interesting with this stuff too. So I actually think even from a fighting or a conflict kind of point of view, understanding where you sit with stuff is really useful to understand what you can do. So like ring fighting, pro fighting, that shit, I am going to get my ass handed to me. Doing some weird ass Tai Chi shit where someone is like 2 minutes later, like, what were we even fighting about? I don't understand. And I'm like, I don't know either. Let's sit down and have a chat. I'm really fucking good at that. Do you know what I mean? But if I try to
That's some
solve a
Sun Tzu
problem,
shit, right?
it is. It is. And like,
Like,
and guess what,
fight to
guys?
win the
I
fight
read a
by
shit
not
ton of Sun
fighting.
Tzu. Yeah. We're just, I think the best scene in Bruce Lee ever did is when there's like, what is the art of fighting without fighting? And he's like, let's get on the boat and there's an island over there. We can fucking fight. And the guy gets on the boat and he lets the boat go into the water and they just keep going, you know?
Later.
That's the best thing that's ever happened. That was the best thing he ever did. So, but if you actually understand, again, know thyself, right? If you know who you are, you know your place in the world, then as Sun Tzu says, a thousand battles will be yours, right? It's when you try to fight like you're not who you are that you get into some fucking trouble.
Right. You're in the D&D campaign and you think you're going to be a knight and all this, because you've been playing video games.
This is so now to bring us back to magic for a second, because we were talking about, you use the term griot, which I know means storyteller, and I think probably most people listening know knew what you were singing, the bard, sort of thing. But like sometimes people don't know what kind of magician they are, or if they are a badass magician, or if they want to be a badass magician. Like, so, one of the talents I have had since I was small is exorcism stuff. And this covers a whole wide range of things: banishing shit, telling shit to do shit, getting people to do what I want them to do, all this kind of stuff. This is an area where, since I was small, I have had this capacity and problems with it and everything else surrounding it. So I
By
decided to
the
get good
way,
at it.
I want to put a pin in that because I want to come back to exorcism a little later.
Okay, yeah, let's talk. Yeah. So, but I knew that, so I trained up in that and got better at that because I knew that was something that it's like when all your neighbors are like, damn, you're fast. You're like, maybe I should be on the track team. Like it's,
Sure.
and I think a lot of times people don't, they want to be a magician. They feel called to it, even. They're feeling messed with or whatever. But they're not quite able, like, am I gonna be somebody who makes talismans really well? You know what I mean? Am I gonna be someone who does all that? There's a lot of
Oh,
room to
sure.
maneuver, So when did you start realizing the storytelling is a massive component? The bardic element is a massive component for you. And the astrology is a massive component for you, which is, again, I would argue a kind of storytelling, but like,
Sort of.
when
Well,
did that start
so
taking shape for you?
what, deciding to be into magic and shit?
No. Like, as you're getting into magic and stuff, and you're sort of realizing like stuff, where do you feel your badass magician-ness start? Like, where do you,
Well, I don't
what?
know that I am a badass magician if we're being real.
Okay, that's true. You're a badass astrologer, at least.
And like, listen, I'm a badass astrologer because I've put in 10,000 reps. You know what I mean?
Right, but you
Like,
didn't. Yes,
that's it, as
that is how
simple
it
as that.
works.
Like, I just
Yes,
did
but
it.
why did you put in 10,000 reps?
I mean, part of it was I was just good at it, you
Right.
know? And I had, there's this question of like, what is talent? You know?
Sure. Yep.
And talent in large part consists of interest. You know, I just happened to be interested enough in the thing that I was like, that I was ready to do it for 10,000 reps, you know? Like I was
Yeah.
ready to just get in there and try it again, you know, because I thought the thing was really interesting. It's a kind of math that intuitively makes sense to me in a way that a lot of times, you know, like algebra makes a certain amount of sense to me. When you get into like trigonometry or you know, a lot of this kind of like a lot of that math doesn't really make a lot that much sense to me. But astrology is hella mathy. And but it's a kind of math, especially since now I don't have to actually calculate the charts. You know, like I don't have to use tables to like figure out where, you know, like in the particular location and all that. I just let the computers do all that. And then I just get to talk about. I just, you know, the thing that was interesting to me was the meaning making of it. You know, like, because when I started reading for Sanctuary, then I started having these like 10-minute readings that I had to do for people. And so it'd be this, you know, like, when is my boyfriend going to text me? You know, and I would have, so I'd get this question. And I would have a chart, and they would have already paid me. And so I have to say something to them. And so a lot of times I would like kind of start to get a little mathy with it or whatever. And then immediately they would be like, but what does that mean for me? You know? And so immediately you just got to turn it around and be like, how am I going to make meaning in, I have one statement left. You know what I mean? I already wasted a couple of statements on math. Now I have one statement left and I need to turn all this math into something meaningful. And that was an interesting challenge to me. And so I got in there and was like, okay, so how am I going to take the disparate parts and then turn them? And so it is storytelling, you know, like it turns into this piece where it's like, okay, well, Saturn in Aries is a certain kind of character. And then, I guess that's also going to be interacting with the moon in, let's see, let's say Gemini. So it's going to, gonna make a sextile between those. Okay. So a sextile is a kind of relationship. And so the moon in Gemini is going to feel a kind of way, and Saturn in Aries is going to feel a kind of way. And so if we have those two things, those two characters, and then we put them together, then what kind of interaction do they have? What does this look like? And so then I would just kind of envision it and be like, okay, well, I think this kind of thing might be going on, you know, and
What's
I
the
got it
story?
right
What's
enough.
the telenovela behind, what's happening here?
Exactly. Yeah. So I start telling a story about it, and then, and it resonated enough times that I just took that and ran with it. I also had people who I really looked up to, you know what I mean? Like, had people like Austin Coppock, for example, who was a super important teacher for me, who, he was the one who taught me how to make talismans and stuff. That was before he locked the talisman course away behind the. You had to do 3 years of his study first. You know, he just offered that as a standalone course, and so I just took that shit. And
That's
you
awesome.
know, I my astrology was not up to par until I took that course, and I was like, oh, this is going to be real rigorous. Okay, I have to learn a
Oh, I better
lot of
get.
fucking rules. You know, but like I had that to look up to, and I was like, oh, this is like really interesting, and the way that this dude talks is like so engaging, and the way that he talks about this image versus that image and puts them all into the, like the, and there's something monstrous about the way that images are created. You know, you take the trunk of an elephant and you put it on the neck of a giraffe and you put that onto like some alligator shoes and then see what happens, you know what I mean? And like you just kind of like assemble the thing, and he does that in a way that's really like fluid and delightful. And so I just looked up to that and wanted to be like it, you know?
I think,
Especially downstream from the P.
I think you've actually sort of laid out a really good answer to my question there, which is like, if you want to figure out, no, if you want to figger out
I was out
where
here. I
you're,
was floundering a little bit. I was like, oh man,
no, I think it's
I don't
really
know where I'm
good.
gonna arrive at.
No, I got you because I was trying. I'm a coach. I take the talents of others and take credit for it. The piece there of like how desire, right, gets you started. Like it's just an interest. This is a cool thing. This looks cool. I want to play with it. I'm going to pull it apart. I think there's a weird thing that happens a lot of times with our society where we're like, well, I want to do this, but I feel like I should start over here. You know what I mean? I feel like I should learn this before I do that. Or whatever. It's like,
Oh, sure.
no. What you really want to do is you just want to be very good at telling fortunes with playing cards. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to read 14 books first. You can just,
Yeah, just jump
you don't
right
have to
into there.
understand animism as a whole before you start playing with playing cards. Just play with playing cards, right?
Right.
And, but then the next step of that is then understanding a little bit more about why you want to play with playing cards. Right, in the sense of like you're talking about, oh shit, I'm doing this for people, gotten good enough to do this math for money, but now I need to make a meaning for people. I need to do a thing with this. I need to take this and turn it into something. And oh, wait, this is a system for storytelling. Like this connects like music, or this connects like storytelling itself, of these disparate elements are being brought together into a place to make some meaning, right? So you're like, I have a desire to play with a thing. I have some knack for it, right? My Tai Chi teacher really liked the term the knack. Like, you just kind of have to like, it's not quite talent. You know what I mean? Like, you can pick it up a little bit more, but also at the same time, like, if you don't have the knack, you're not, it's hard to get the knack,
Yeah.
But then the last piece I think is also really, really important, and it's a combo, which is the desire to be like someone, an attraction to a figure of what the outcome can be. Like, for instance, it's not like you went and studied with, I mean, I know you've taken classes, some of Chris Brennan stuff, and this kind of stuff too. But like, when you say, "Who do I want to be like?" You're like, "Oh, wait, Austin's this cool dude who's doing this fun stuff." Who's, you know what I mean? Like, you have an image, monstrous or not, that you are playing into that you can react with. And this often will take the shape of a teacher, but that can be a dead teacher. I read every fucking thing Aleister Crowley wrote. I have read every word the man ever wrote. I do not agree with him on anything, hardly, and I don't want to be Aleister Crowley, right? But I had a weird fascination with him for a long time, enough to really read every single thing he wrote, and I got something from that that did free me from some prisons I was stuck in, right? Similarly with Alan Moore, big obsession with Alan Moore. I like giant beardo dudes with weird rings. But I liked what Moore was able to do with art and magic in a way that was really powerful, and that also included a deep understanding of history of place. Like, I'm just like, this is fucking interesting to be able to like look at a building and know all of its history and be able to compress that into an image that can speak to people. That's an interesting kind of magic to me. It does something weird. So I don't think you have to end up in the same line or the same as your teacher, right? But by interacting with a version of the future self you might want to be, you kind of find out how you fit, right, in that structure again. What kind of magician are you? Well, I've had to wrestle with this image in order to understand if I want to be just like that, or I want to be different than that, or I like it, I don't like it. So this is kind of like steps along the way. It's just interesting to think about
Word.
how desire and talent and produces the work that leads you to the understanding that produces the teacher that leads you to the understanding. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of follows
Yeah,
a
I mean, where
pattern.
does anything come from? I do want to talk a little bit about,
Let's talk
well,
exorcism.
this. Oh, exorcism. Yeah, sure.
Oh, I thought that's
I
where
want
you were
to.
going. Go ahead.
No, I was not coming back to exorcism quite yet. I actually wanted to talk about George Clinton
Okay, let's talk about George Clinton.
and the P, because I have such a strong fascination with the P. But one of the things about the P, and I mentioned already that like P-Funk is like well respected by gangsters and all that, and one of the things about it is that the funk is so cold, it's criminal. Literally, P-Funk is criminal. It is a
It's
criminal
criminal.
enterprise, you
Right.
know? Man, the girl is bad, you know, like all that. So,
Fucking women.
all right. Oh,
We were talking about the funk being criminal.
yeah,
Criminal.
funk is so cold, it's criminal.
Well,
All
that's for
right, so
sure.
like. This is so. I always had a, because like I always really liked how George Clinton got down, and George Clinton is actually not even my favorite of the Funkadelics. You know what I mean? Like, if we had to rank them, then we have
Let's
would.
well, but wait, we're here. Why not? Let's rank them. Let's say it. What's your ranking?
Well, I mean, obviously, Glenn Goins would be at number one.
Okay.
This is gonna it's gonna get into inside baseball. Nobody's gonna have any idea what I'm fucking talking about. But I mean, I looked up to George Clinton a lot. One of the things that I think about all the time is, especially now, because I'm becoming an old head.
Right, right.
Like I used to be fresh and hip, and now I'm like coming to a point in my life where I'm. Like I want to be in bed at a certain time and all these kind of things, So, but one of the things that George Clinton always said was like, because when P-Funk was in its heyday, P-Funk was all or George Clinton was already old head by that point, and so The reason why that was possible is because he listened to whatever the kids was up to, and he ran to that. So while other old heads would be like, "These kids these days, they all on some bullshit," he would be like, "Kids these days is on some dope shit,
It's
so we
on some
gonna go
dope
where that's at,"
shit.
you know, and we're gonna give them as much cocaine as they want, and we're gonna see what happens, you know, and then we're gonna take their money is the other thing. Right, because the funk is so cold is criminal.
And old heads and wizards, old wizards are fucking dangerous. Like,
Right,
yes.
exactly. And so there's a relationship to criminality that I personally am kind of uncomfortable with, if I'm being real. Because I'd be on I'd be on some pious shit a lot of times, you know, like I'd be working in nightlife and all that, and everybody would be like wilding, and I'd be like, "Hold up, I'm gonna pray over my meal real quick." You know what I mean? And everybody respect it. Everybody like, "Don't worry, I'm just gonna do a bump right quick while you're doing that," and like we get back to it. You know what I mean? And I'd be like, "Cool," and that's not my style, but like follow your heart. You know what I mean? And so. And so I can come at it from this non-judgmental point of view, but like, so while I, what I think is really dope about the pure funk situation is its relationship to truth and authenticity. And I think of that as a kind of God form, right? Like that is the creative force that drives the world, right? But that thing is not good.
It just is.
That's the thing, right? Yeah, it's just the thing. And so I don't know how to orient, like I'm in the spot right now where a lot of those kids in the nightlife space, they be like looking up to me because I they think that I have a kind of wisdom that would that they admire or something like that, right? And there and so I've got a like morality that is associated, and I my morality, I'm not sure where it is. You know what I mean? Because I know that there's like a criminal element that I fuck with, that I vibe with at a certain level. You know what I mean? And so I don't know exactly how to navigate that thing that likes badness.
For me, this hinges on a bit of like the power conversation,
There it is.
And part of so there are times when I think the criminality is just called for, in the sense that like people who don't like the funk have made the rules and made the laws and said that things are criminal that are actually just life. Do you know what I mean? Like, so there's a, so what does it mean to be a criminal or an anarchist in the way of like you just don't do what the rules are because the rules are kind of dumb and you don't care, right? Does that make you a criminal? Yes, it does. Anyone listening to this who has engaged with psychedelics has done a criminal act. Most people would not then say like, "Oh, but I'm a criminal because I did," you know what I mean? So there's a, so there's that. Then there's another aspect where the like it's so cold it's criminal. The power of this thing is unrecognizable and has or is not unrecognizable
Corruptible.
is yeah you've stolen fire from the gods and you did steal it and
And the
maybe you
theft is
shouldn't
criminal.
have it you
But it's
know
too late
but
now.
it's too late now I fucking got it and like
Ah,
listen
she's back.
I don't the joke I was talking to Jess recently. I was like, man, I think writing this book about the devil has really, convinced me about my, It's funny, but that's where my devotion kind of ends up. And she's like, no, this book you've been writing about the devil has made you realize you've been part of the devil's party all along, right? Like you didn't convert in the process of writing the book. You just
Sure.
understood what was happening to you in a clearer way, right? And the devil cannot be, you can't put a good boy collar on the devil. You know what I mean? Like, do I think he's largely a force for liberation and the body and the world and everything else? Yeah, I do. I do. Is he scary as fuck? He better be if he's the devil. Do you know what I mean? Like, he kind of has to be.
Sure.
That's, and if you think he's tame, you fucked up. You're gonna get
Sure.
in trouble. And that's about power, right? The power to do something, because that's what power is, to do something.
Yeah, and autonomy as well, right? Like a certain sense of like, I'm gonna make the rules for me. And if
And
that
I'm
means that.
undeniable. Do you know what I mean? Like, because there, you could probably find a way to break George Clinton if you worked real hard. Do you know what I mean? You could probably find a way to break him down, I'm sure, blah, blah, blah. But it's going to be very hard because that dude is going to do good. He's going to do what he does wherever he is as long as he can, right? Like, there's an unstoppable quality. I think about this with like James Brown sometimes. Like, that dude did a shit ton of drugs.
Sure.
Like, that I think probably would have killed and or ruined many other people.
Sure.
And you
Yeah,
can make
well,
an argument that at times in James Brown's life, it did ruin him and nearly
yeah.
kill him. You know what I mean? Like, he's chasing people through his house, shooting shotgun blasts at people while
Hell
he's
yeah.
high on
Yeah.
stuff.
You don't
Like,
want that. You don't want no parts of
no,
that.
that's not a good life. That's not what I'm shooting for. Do you know what I mean? But even in old age, you get on the fucking stage and you can see the goddamn spirit moving and you can, you know what I mean? Like, the
Right.
power's
So,
there.
yeah, P-Funk in its prime is like literally a religious experience. And not just for me, it is very much a religious experience for me. Like there's a particular Bootsy live recording live in Louisville in 1978 that is so tough that I have to not put it on. Because if I put it on, I can't do anything else but funk. I just gotta be there with it. It's like it becomes my whole life. And P-Funk Earth Tour is a lot this way as well. Like I just can't do anything but put my hands up and just like love it. And I'm aware that that is all cocaine, and that that is and that George is taking everybody's money. And that, like, it's a criminal enterprise backwards and forwards the whole way through. And yet, it is creating a religious experience for those of us who are in the audience. And so, there, that, even though I know that, even though I am aware of that, like, people who were in the crowd at that moment probably were not aware. Like they're aware that like some drugs are taking place, drug, sex, rock and roll, and all that, but they're not aware of the like fraud that's going on. You know what I mean? They're not aware of the theft, the level of theft that is happening in that moment. You know what I mean? Whereas I now am aware of that.
Can't not be aware.
Can't not be aware. Still have a religious experience when I put the music on.
Because the spirit's coming through.
Right. 'Cause the spirit chose that spot to come
See,
through.
I think about this sometimes with like, all right, I'm gonna talk about something that's a little bit funny. For some reason, people don't like to talk about the possibility, I'll leave it at possibility, that Dr. King was banging a ton of people.
Possibility.
And it's not a possibility, man, it was fucking all over the place.
Yeah,
Like,
there's
yeah,
recordings of shit.
I know. People don't like that. Do you know what I mean? People don't
Right.
want to talk about that for some reason. There's a they like it cheapens some stuff.
Though, I don't know. Like that to me is a little bit different.
Why? Why is it different?
Because it's not theft. He's
No, I
not,
agree.
you
But
know what I mean? Like the so in the first place, this man is 25 years old.
sure.
I don't know if anybody in my audience has ever been a 25-year-old man before.
No.
Got mad drive. You were like, and
Drive.
then you, right? And then you
Young
put me in
buck.
a situation where there's availability. You know what I mean? Like, fucking bitches is the primary directive. You know, like,
So, okay, but I will take this though, in the sense that like that example is more in the line of the people have set up dumb rules don't matter. Do you know what I mean? Like kind of line of
yeah,
things.
it's not the same as like
It's not the
George
same.
Clinton actively harming the members of his band,
For sure,
actively
for
keeping
sure.
them in like drug-addled and drug-addicted situations where they're dependent on him so that he can take their money and then pretend like they didn't write the songs that they wrote and put his name on there and then end up selling all the royalties to people so that he could buy crack. You know what I mean? Like that. I think these things are not.
Not equivalent. I agree with you there. That's very true. So, let's just take this one apart then. So, do you think the spirit comes through without the other band members?
No, clearly, obviously.
Right. Do you think it comes through without George?
No, obviously.
So, what is the piece that George brings that is worth the other shit? Like, is it a case where they needed someone to unite them in order for the spirit to come through?
Sure.
And this is a bad magic version of doing it, right? There is a better way to do this that could have also worked, but
I
this is the
wonder if
one that
there's a better
George
way to do it.
closed.
That's kind of where I'm getting to. I
No,
don't know if there,
that's the part I'm
you
not sure
know.
about either, to be completely honest. I'm not sure about it.
It happened the way that it happened, you
Right.
know? And it hasn't happened in a context that isn't that context. You know, you
And
could
while
maybe make a argument for Kirk Franklin, who won a fucking Grammy on a P-Funk song. So we're back to theft again. You know, so like, maybe, you know.
Well, and I was just, it's a different line, right? It's not this, now we're talking soul for a second, which is different. It's not the same thing. But
Is
that
it?
Stax
Yes, it
Records
is.
stuff. Where
Funk and soul is.
they were creating a like a collaborative environment,
Sure.
and they produced some amazing shit, through that venue. It's not the same. It's
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Isaac Hayes doesn't ever, and Isaac Hayes is the biggest artist there, and Isaac
sure,
Hayes
yeah.
never makes it to the same enduring legacy that
Right.
George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic does.
And the answer is I don't have a good answer. I do think it matters what spirits you work with, right? That certain
Yeah,
spirits are
because it
gonna.
gives you it like determines what kind of outcomes you get. You know,
Yes.
George Clinton didn't just get the mothership to land. Like the mothership
Right.
would land, and then George Clinton had to be a crackhead for 20 years.
Right.
You know, like
Aleister
that's.
Crowley fucking, you could argue, made a strong break in the line of like occultism being a thing that wasn't alive, all this kind of stuff. Died a heroin addict, penniless, screaming about how nobody was giving him money.
Yeah. So like, you know, you get out what you put in.
There's a
But
reason.
you also get the mothership to land. Damn, if you
Sure.
don't want the mothership to land.
So,
I wanted to be a part of that.
one of the things I have chosen to do, so I do work with the devil, that's very clear, right?
Sure.
I do mostly in the form of the horned king of the forest, right?
Okay.
Like that's the kind of devil I work with. I do a lot less work with like the Anton LaVey, pointy-haired whatever sort of like 50s sex devil dude, because I'm not attracted to that. I don't want the outcomes that come with that. I don't particularly work with saying expedite because I don't think the risk and reward ratio is great over there. I do work with St. Jude because I like to go into impossible situations and come out with a win. There's a price there too. I think sometimes people don't see the price on the slow end of things or on the not quite so hot end of things, which is that, like, hey, sometimes that resolves kind of slowly. You gotta put up with that. You gotta bear the cross of that. That maybe you could have, quote, healed this kid faster with Saint Expedite. But you chose a certain amount of suffering and allowed that to happen to go with Saint Jude for various reasons. You know what I mean? Like, there's a cost in each case. It's just which cost are you willing to pay personally? You know.
The Tao remains balanced always. Always, no matter what happens. Okay,
Yeah, the scale
so
balances out. Yep.
yeah, always. Even if doesn't matter what you think about it.
Doesn't matter.
The
Yeah,
Tao will
exactly.
remain balanced.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about exorcism for a second.
Sure. Related topic.
Yeah, so I have this friend who told me recently that her brother has been inhabited by a spirit for a number of years, since childhood, potentially.
Sure, pretty common.
Long time. Yeah, didn't. And it has just become uncomfortable enough that he has said it to a couple of people, and it's freaking the family out. If you were going to treat this situation,
Oh, is this hey Chat GPT? If you were an
yeah,
exorcist,
that 100%, that's what's going on.
yeah.
I don't even know how to how to think about it, honestly.
So there's a couple things that. So let me say a couple things before we get started, and then I will walk through it because I think it's worth thinking about this stuff. And again, in terms of like, what do things cost? What do you want to do? You know, it's worth to think stuff out. First off, I am personally of the opinion that the Catholic confrontational exorcism that of film fame is largely a really bad idea. It's not that confrontation isn't a part of this process, it probably will be, but that particular mode of like, I say the names of God and I yell at you and then you get better is, I think, very culturally constructed and not the best approach to things.
Interesting, because the only image that I have of you in my head exercising is getting a spirit in a corner and being like, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna read the whole book of Psalms. Here goes
Sure.
Psalm number one,
Yep.
and just reading them shits down
Which is true, which
until
is
somebody
so
bounced.
what I'm, but there's a difference there. So it's a good example. So in a traditional Catholic organ exorcism rite, you compel the spirit through the name of, through the faith of the priest and through the name of God to leave the body of the person and to fuck off to hell or whatever. You are initiating a spirit drama in which your own faith and will is the engine through which the healing is accomplished, right? So
Gotcha.
the moment that, so if I'm yelling at you about how the power of Christ compels you to fuck off, if you can make my faith waver, then we're fucked.
Sure.
Right? Because the engine is pulled up. You know, you basically just took the key out of the car.
Sure.
That seems like a really easy proposition for a spirit to fuck with. Like that seems like we're playing into their game pretty hard. In the case of the thing, I realized that this, I didn't know what else to do, and so I just started doing this, and I noticed that it annoyed the spirit. So my observation was that this annoyed this thing, so I'll be an asshole then. And my capacity to be an asshole is basically bottomless. Like I don't like that's what are you gonna say to throw me off being an asshole? Like, right? So that's what I mean. A confrontation is probably necessary at some point, but you need to set the terms so that you're not in any doubt of victory ever. So first thing is first is to try to talk to stuff. There's a great Lon Milo Duquette. I think it's from his My Life with the Spirits, but he tells a great story about an exorcism where he gets called in by a therapist who wants to do an exorcism on this woman who's had a spirit since childhood, is now fucking up her life. And she knows Duquette and is like, hey, I think some kind of a dramatic thing would be good. Duquette takes a more traditional view of exorcism, which is you got to talk to the spirits. And this is also the Saint Cyprian kind of approach to the Cyprianic tradition. You got to fucking talk to them and see what's going on, right? So in Duquette's case, he likes to use the black mirror as a way to like talk to the spirits directly. Does a circle, wears his fancy robe, says all his, OTO shit, and makes the black mirror, has the woman talk into the mirror and imagine the spirit in the mirror until it's there, right? This method has a lot to say for it because your own face looking in the black mirror will begin to give some kind of a shape, and so it gives the spirit a place to land, right? Turns out this spirit was something that was basically her imaginary friend as a kid that was defending her from some abusive situations. She called this spirit when she was small to defend her. And it just kind of grew and kept growing and growing, and then was starting to like a dog that was too defensive, was kind of like driving everybody away from her because it was trying to protect her, right? It's just like, I don't want you to have any hurt. So in that case, what Duquette has her do is thank the spirit, tell the spirit that she no longer needs the spirit in her life. He's free to go about and do whatever, and she will honor and make little gifts basically as gratitude to him, but he's free and the contract is over. And that solves the problem, right? That's an exorcism, right? Because we have ordered the spirit into a new place. So step one is you got to go and talk to the spirit and figure out what's going on. And that can be scary as fuck. Because it's a live wire spirit, but sort of in your sense of like, you're doing cocaine, I'll be over here doing my prayers. Like you kind of like come in non-judgmentally at first and just sort of like, what's the story? What's going on? Now, do you have any details regarding how the spirit is acting with the person? We
The
can talk
only
generally too. I don't want to necessarily out people's business too much on this, but
The only detail that I have is that the spirit goes by the same name that is this person's daughter's nickname. And so spirit is feeling possessive about that and has generated enough discomfort in this person as to get them to request that we don't call the baby this anymore. That's all I got.
I mean, I think that's a good idea anyway. If there's a long-term spirit in the house and like that we might be getting rid of, we probably don't want to call the baby that. Like let's just that we're still gonna get the spirit to move on, I think, but like let's still also not call the baby that. I think that's a good rule. Right, so is feeling out of place and stuff. I think So my first step in this would be to sort of start getting the person who is possessed, or influenced. So like there's kind of a difference in the two. Like possessed is when the spirit takes full control and the person is not really in control of what's happening. And then there's like heavily influenced, you know what I mean? Where the spirit's really hanging around and like messing with people and stuff, but it's not necessarily in full control of the person's body. So getting the person, and if you can get in direct contact with the spirit, where like you can directly talk to them through channeling or the person's talking or what this kind of stuff, you can do that, or you can sort of have the person tell you about the spirit and draw things out and like, start to lay out like, what is the spirit's name? What is the spirit's story? Where's the spirit from? What is the spirit like, not dislike? So one of the other things is my approach to this stuff has to do with how I think spirits work and how stories work. So you were talking earlier about doing a chart, and the telenovela of this story is we got these different pieces there. If you take any piece out of that story, it's a different story. Right? You need all of the pieces of this story, all the constellation to be drawn together to have the manifestation of that particular story. So you can, a classical example is when the Christians came into Greece and the Imperial Christians came into Greece and they destroyed the sacred groves of Demeter, the goddess Demeter, without her sacred groves, you take that constellation point out, is now not a goddess of plenty, but a goddess of famine. Right? So in the same way, it's like, okay, so what is constructing this spirit? What is allowing it to come in? What is it like to do? Because sometimes the answer can be as simple as, I paint your house blue, and now there's no spirit here anymore.
Spirit doesn't like that.
Doesn't like blue, isn't a part of blue, wants nothing to do with blue. House is blue, spirit's not around. And that may seem crazy, but it is sometimes little touches can banish something from a space. It may be that the spirit has been waiting for a certain kind of validation or to be given a certain kind of role, so that a spirit that is out of its particular role, kind of in the Duquette version, it's no longer a protector, it's a harmer. So you can either put it back as a protector, give it some limits, and then who cares if the spirit's there? It's fine, it's doing what it's supposed to do. Or you can rehome that spirit because it's no longer protective in that space, If it gets confrontational in a like, okay, but now we need to make sure the spirit doesn't fuck it. Like it's the same rule as anything else. If you've tried to avoid violence, but violence cometh unto you, what do you do in that case? You have to be committed to win. If you are not committed to win, don't go in the room. First rule of any fight, magical or otherwise, is bring friends. So it's a lot easier to kick the shit out of somebody if there's five of you. You're gonna so I suggest, generally speaking, that exorcism isn't done alone, right? That you have a team of people who work together to do that. If you don't have access to a team of people who can actually get in the room, having other people nearby praying for your well-being and praying for the well-being of the person can be very effective, right? Even if they're on their own outside. And then there's bring spirit friends. So I recommend Saint Michael as a particular one, but any spirit that you have a long-term steady relationship for, I would do some divination on and be like, do you want to come to this party? Like, are you willing to play? Because if they are, then divination has chosen them and they probably have an angle of approach that they feel powerful in, right? And so in that case, once you get somebody who wants to sign on, then you say, well, how would you go about doing this, right? Like, what's your, again, how do you fight, Saint Joseph, right? Many, many, and I actually would recommend people this spirit quite a lot. Venus does a lot of exorcisms in traditional literature. And if you think about Venus's role as both a war goddess and
Sure.
a healer goddess and a protector of women and this kind of stuff, there's a ferocity to Venus that is and banishing of disease in particular, very applicable to this kind of maneuver. And I think she makes an excellent friend if you work with Saint Cyprian and Saint Justina together, particularly Saint Justina, incredibly powerful friends. So, because you got a lady who banished the devil with the sign of the cross, right? So
Sure.
her tech is straightforward and it's rock steady. And by the way, there's something too. You got somebody yelling at you, spitting at you, telling you that you're a pervert and you don't know what the fuck you're talking about and everything else, and you're like, tell me another one.
Right. Yeah.
And they're like, well, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, yeah, cool. Next. I'm not impressed. Like, there's an energetics here that can take quite a long time, but they're wearing themselves out. And you're rope-a-doping the whole time. Do you know what I mean? Like, just like leaning on the ropes. Yeah. That's great. Go ahead. Now, when you get to, there's going to be a point. If you're winning, which you should be, where the other spirit, the spirit you're trying to get rid of, wants to leave. If you think about the stories from the Bible, you have Jesus about to cast the spirit into hell, and legion's like, oh, whoa, what about those pigs? like,
Sure.
hey, I don't need to do all that. You don't need a hell metaphysics to do this. At all. You just, as I told the UU minister years ago, like, she's like, I don't think Unitarian Universalism has a concept of evil that would allow for exorcism. And I was like, that's stupid. But even if you don't want things to be evil, if a tiger's in your house, tiger's not supposed to be in my house.
Right, sure.
Out. Out. So you wanna get it to think that staying is way worse than leaving, and coming back is a problem. So, and this is the most antagonistic one, right? So, but you're basically like, no, now you don't get to leave. You want to leave, but now you're in here with me. And at that point, then the spirit, you can say, like, look, okay, fine, you can leave, but you can't come back. If you come back in this place, then me and my buddies are going to come back here, and it's going to be worse next time, right? This is sort of educational beatdown theory of resolving conflict. Now, once the spirit does leave, I'd recommend a promise of no harm to anyone connected to the household, and you can go, but you got to basically make real peace, right? When that's done, you have got to put something good into the person, or the next nasty fucking spirit will just run right into the space. So, in the exact moment, a prayer of love, a prayer of compassion, a prayer of this kind of inviting the spirit of love. Again, this is one reason Venus is so good for this stuff, right? But like inviting the spirit of love to enter the body of the person. If at this point, if the room is actually cleared out, and you'll know, by the way, it feels like something's in the fucking space. Like it's a visceral thing. And when it cleans out again, you're like, okay, it's not here anymore. Everything seems chill. If you're in that space, you've done an extra little banishing, then you could have people come from the outside, family, those kind of people, and pray around the person and make them feel really cared for and loved and held and this kind of stuff. Here's the part that sucks. You're gonna need to check on that person for like 40 days. It doesn't have to be every day. But like you're gonna need to be like, hey, how things going? Hey, what's you doing all right? Because and that's really to get the spirit of the good spirit that's built in there kind of settled in, right? So that's the conference. That's the worst. That's the most intense version. The other one is far more common. It's far more common to be like, this spirit has an issue that needs resolving. If we resolve the issue, the spirit is fine or goes away. So I'm very much in favor of like cutting good deals with reasonable spirits earlier on. And in fact, in the Cyprian stuff, you're supposed to make sure it's not a ghost. Like they're very concerned that it might actually just be a human ghost that's hanging around that actually just needs to be prayed for and moved on to heaven. That actual demonic possession or like bad spirit possession is far more rare than people think. And it's much more something like, oh, something in your bloodline is not exactly right, and one of your ancestors is hanging around and is fucking things up, and you need to instead go and put some flowers on the grave and say, Grandpa, you don't get to hang out here anymore, fucking move on to the light. Like that's the much more common version than full on, I am Azrael and I'm destroyer of worlds, you know, like levitating from the
Sure.
bed shit. Like that, there's
Right.
a reason there's stories about that, because that's not a thing that happens as much. Couple other things to be aware of. How did someone become available for the evil spirit to manifest? Lots of times that's trauma of all kinds, and sometimes it's real rough. So some kind of ongoing healing with a professional, a medical professional, is probably a good idea. Or a spiritual counselor of some kind, somebody who's really trained in sort of like helping people work out their long-term shit is good, you know. So whether that's a good therapist or a good priest or whatever, then you know, it's probably good to. They don't need to know necessarily about the exorcism. They just need to know that this person has been having some distress around their issues and could use some long-term help. So I do think that part's important. Oh, last bit too. So couple things about being the exorcist though. So something I have found very helpful is to tap into your angelic nature, or your pure self, your self beyond time nature, however you want to think about it. But like there, anytime I've done this, one of the things that has come out of my mouth is, you don't know who you're dealing with to the spirit. Like, I don't think you know who the fuck I am, but you should look it up, because when you do look at it, you're gonna think twice about being in this fucking room.
Better ask somebody.
Exactly. And when you do, you will find out. Right. That is the attitude that you kind of need. You need to be a king when you're in the room. And with all the ups and downs that comes with being a king. And actually, if you look at this, many of the older rituals, they ask you to take on a god form of some kind, or even the priest is representing Christ as conquered king, as king, you know. So you gotta get in there, and you gotta make sure you can live in that space for as long as you're the person leading in that room. You need to be the radiant sun king, you know, no questions. You're gonna need to take care of yourself after a couple days. Like for a couple days, you need to like stay away from alcohol pretty solidly, both before and after. You know, I don't think you have to actually do too much. I personally don't think you need to do a whole lot of fasting and stuff ahead of time, all this kind of stuff. I think you're better off eating a good breakfast, washing your hands, and doing a cleansing ritual and saying some serious prayers. But coming in fed and steady, I think is better. On the other side, you should definitely eat some grounding food, potatoes, salty shit. You know, you should get salt all over yourself. You do whatever cleansing for yourself, because you are also a risk for the spirit to lock onto. And I highly recommend personally the use of tobacco. I find tobacco and coffee to be long-standing exorcist components that are very helpful. And I think there's a reason when you go to AA, there's a lot of coffee and tobacco. Those people are wrestling with some serious spirits, you know. But I think, you know, a cigar, a couple cigarettes, a cup of coffee, this kind of stuff. It's okay for that to be your friend for a couple days, and until you feel steady again. Lots of good walks out in nature, that kind of stuff. Because it's a fight. You're going to, even if you get it handled in the first pit where you're like, let's cut a deal to make everybody better, you've still been in a fight. It's just a different, it's just kind of like a lawyer fight. And you will leave feeling high as fuck, particularly if you win. And that's a real easy place for spirits to grab a hold of you. So it's good to be like, no, I'm a dumb meat sack who eats potatoes and smokes cigarettes. Like, it's kind of
Sure.
kind of helpful. So that's my general outline of how I go about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what's up. That was very informative. Thank you so much. You look like you have one more thing to say.
No, it's just that, like, I think we did this stuff for each other a lot more in the past than we do in our current culture. And I think we had a lot more people who were pretty good at it. Laughter can be an amazing fucking banishing tool. The Chaos Magicians were right about that. And like, sometimes you can walk into somebody who's suffering from a spirit, I'm not gonna say depression, but a melancholy, right? And you're like, get your ass up. We're going for a walk. And the person's like, I don't want to go for a walk. And I'm like, fuck you, put on your shoes, going for a walk. And let me tell you a long story about how dumb you are, you know? And then by the end of that, that person is way better. That is a very common kind of exorcism that we do all the time that follows a similar pattern when you think about the actual steps involved. We prepare ourselves to go into the space. If we have another friend, we often will go with another friend. Do you know what I mean? Try to let's go cheer Brian up. He hadn't been out of the house in 3 days, you know. You both are willing to cut some deals. You know, come on out with us, we'll go to your favorite spot, you know. But you're also gonna compel that person to get the fuck out of the house, whether they want to or not, kinda. And if you have to put their shoes on them, you're gonna put their shoes on them. You know what I mean? And it's not that you're trying to take away their agency, but you're trying to create a space where they can grab their agency again, right? And, you know, there is something violent and not necessarily appropriate in that in all cases. And so you shouldn't just do that lightly because it is a violent act to compel someone to get out of their house when they're not feeling it and to force them to go for a walk, you know. You take a little karmic damage for doing it. But it might also pay out. And then you get a little karmic boost. So, you know, this is the Tao will balance, right? So, and then it's not good enough to have taken somebody on a walk once and leave them feeling better. You got to call them up again. So I would say that that's probably the most common case where people have done an exorcism is a spirit of depression or a spirit of grief that is lingering on someone too long. I think all of us have some kind of touch with that. So, you know, so that's the other thing. It can be very dramatic and when I say like I am an exorcist, that is what the daily life of being an exorcist is like, is making sure your friend gets out of the house. And you know, it helps to have an almost questionable dissociation from emotions. Some real Aquarian shit where you're like, emotions, what am those? You know, is kind of helpful. But yeah. So anyway, that was the last piece. That's the last thing.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Yeah, cool. Thanks. Look, I love a good how-to. A lot of the magic stuff gets a little abstract. So I don't know who this is gonna be helpful for,
I am
but
really nervous and excited to hear which person takes this for a ride and tells us what happens.
for sure, for sure. I will be, yeah, it'll be an interesting tale, no doubt. So are you, if someone were to go to wilkinsbryan.com because they heard what a badass geomancer you are,
I don't, you cannot hire me for an exorcism at a
that's what's
distance.
up.
Just to be clear.
Yeah. Word up. Cool. So you do divination there. That's what you do.
That's what I do. I do divination there. There are several geomancy things around. I have a spirit in my house. I do feel like I have a, maybe I have some cross conditions. Maybe I have a spirit messing with me. I'm quite happy to do readings on that subject and then offer you traditional remedies you can do yourself. You know, that don't cost you anything. I think people, you know, if you want to hire somebody to do magic, that's your own thing. It's fine. But for me, you can hire me to the geomancy. Any recommendations and stuff are free. I'm not trying to rookie into stuff there. But, you know, I love to talk to people about this stuff. I love to go work through the problems and come up with some real solid answers. That's the nice thing about geomancy is you get clear prescriptions and solid answers. Sometimes they're asinine a little bit. You feel a little put upon.
I mean, good divination is often this way. There's a strong truth in that kind of thing that, you know, is frequently something that you've been looking away from or avoiding in some kind of way. So it's good to know that that kind of truth and insight is available at wilkinsbryan.com the folks who are interested in going to wilkinsbryan.com to get a geomancy reading.
Yeah, you're most welcome. And, you know, if I wanted to find out more about the sort of different lines of story and do some meaning making in my life, what is that something that I could get at a chart at zambonifunk.com? Is that
you could do that. You could get me to look at some astrology for you if that's what you wanted to do.
But what if I wanted to like learn to do it for myself? What if I want to become badass?
Right. Then you can do that as well at zambonifunk.com. There's an astrology course there called Astrology from the Ground Up that I'm very proud of. I think that it is a good, strong, solid foundation in astrology and how the craft works, what it even am, and how to take these esoteric symbols and turn them into something that is genuinely meaningful even in 2025. And so, that's what folks can do there.
I've also heard some rumors there might be some more classes coming. Is that true? Down the road, maybe some more classes.
I mean, listen, it is retrograde season, and now's not the time for that, for all that.
Okay.
We will see how this goes. But in the meantime, if you would like a reading or if you would like to learn how to do astrology, you can get both of those things at zambonifunk.com. Generally, thank you so much for being here. It's always a delight to see you, to have a conversation in such a way. Thank you to the people for being here and listening to us ramble about this bullshit for hours at a time. I always appreciate when people listen to my foolish ramblings. And thank y'all so much.
Thank you so
much. Peace and blessings.
Thanks everybody else. Peace.